We are live.
Holy mackerel, mister. You scare the jeepers out of me.
From Las Vegas Lights soccer practice, we are inside the net.
You are a crazy little man.
Yeah, this is probably the dumbest idea we've ever had. There's a pretty solid chance that one of us is going to end up getting hurt here.
It's the Mac Attack.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Jared, you seem very on edge, more than usual.
I don't have health insurance.
And you didn't sign a waiver.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What? The Mac Attack.
Oh, yeah, we're sitting here in the net while they're practicing.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
Picking on.
On 920 The Game.
Any other questions?
Hello, North Face. You have got sweet jackets. Ryan McKinnell's here.
Start a speech.
Can you believe UNLV's gone 1 month and 9 days without an apparel deal?
As long as they, well, they're phasing out that old logo, right?
Kind of.
I feel like they have. I feel like clearance racks.
They never used it.
Right, exactly.
It was just like Target.
Let's not talk about it. It never happened. But they, it's a little surprising.
Yeah, they've gone a long time without it. So Ryan McKinnell's here. He's done the press box the last 2 days.
Yes.
And you are dead.
I'm working on it. Talk to me after my show today over at Thomas and Mack for Summer League.
Too much Jared, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the real stressful, you know, wearing part of this whole thing is having to see him for multiple hours a day. Usually I just come in, do my show. I only have to deal with him for 10, 15 minutes, you know, here and there. But
just say hi to him.
Yeah, I feel for you every single day, man.
My favorite part of him doing the press box is, like, if I drive in and I catch one of his traffic reports.
Oh, that he had a couple doozies today.
Like, something's on fire. Avoid it.
Avoid that. That's definitely not good. Reports are saying potential violence and unsafe conditions. Avoid, potentially, or, you know, whatever, don't. I don't really care. Jared Justice is here.
How do you guys feel that it takes both of you to replace Clay Baker?
That, you, I don't even know if we replace Clay. That Clay is a maniac. I hope he is truly enjoying his vacation because he deserves it.
All right, so what happens first? UNLV signs a new apparel deal with Nike, Adidas,
right.
Under Armour, whoever.
I'm really hoping for like FUBU or they're making a comeback. Not Puma. What's the
Starter?
No, Fila.
Fila's
making a comeback. Oh yeah.
All right, have our hello tomorrow.
No, I really. So I don't even want FUBU. I really want Fila. No, I'm not. I'm like half joking. Like, Fila was a great logo. It's a great color scheme. Like,
it would be terrific if they went something completely bizarre.
Yeah, think about the jumpsuits.
Yeah.
Fila jumpsuits are back? Yes, let's go.
So what happens first?
Yeah.
New apparel deal?
Yeah.
Or Nikita Gusev is signed or traded?
I think Gusev. Yeah, I think it's a more pressing issue. I think, you know, with the stuff that you're hearing coming out of Golden, you know, Knights land is that a lot of people expect this to be done. I mean, in somewhat near future. You don't want it to drag on. You want to figure out what you're going to be bringing into the preseason, which starts, what, next month? Or 2 months? I mean, 7 weeks, something like that. I don't know. So it's a little ways away. But I mean, you want to get it done on some level, and you don't. First of all, also, you don't want to have us keep talking about it. You want to quell the fan base on some level because I mean, we just talked about it in the press box. We're going to talk about it now. I'm going to talk about it on my show. I mean, Gusev, for a guy who really has no experience as a Vegas Golden Knight, the fact that he's dominating, you know, the headlines in the way that he is, I'm sure the Knights are probably, you know, over it, getting sick of asking the questions and having people check in with their PR team.
What do you think the fan base reaction is going to be if they trade Nikita Gusev?
I think it would be less than if they were to trade Ryan Reeves. And I don't think, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that's right. I think, you know, obviously, I think Gusev is a much more important, you know, cog in that proverbial wheel, right? But I think there is a bit of safety in terms of blowback because he hasn't played, because I don't think that the Golden Knights fans are as informed as other hockey fan bases right now. They're just kind of figuring out what they are and how much they love hockey and who really does love hockey, right? I think there's an element of that too. As we get further past that inaugural season, some of that luster is going to wear off, and some of the pretenders that aren't actual hockey fans aren't going to stick around. That's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that the Golden Knight fan base is largely built of people that love the Golden Knights but
yes.
Don't like hockey.
Exactly. So I do think at some level that's going to wane at least a little bit. So we're not talking – what I'm saying here, and I'm not trying to disparage Golden Knights fans,
throw
right?
Throw them under the bus.
Right. But what I'm saying
is – You have
is,
a brand.
Right. But what I'm saying is I don't think the expectations are there or the understanding is there just how important Nikita Gusev could be, and not even that, just how fair the deal that he actually wants at $4 million a year really is. It's a pretty fair deal. Yeah. It's not. He's not like putting them, you know, boots to the, you know, he's not forcing them into a corner. It's a really fair request on his part. So here's the thing. If they don't, I mean, okay, if they don't make four, I mean, it, when you're in a cap crunch, I do get it. But if you can't settle on three, if you can't meet in the middle, right? Golden Knights want two, Gusev wants four. If you can't meet for three, I mean, I'm going to be blown away. I think most experts are going to be blown away because the upside that Gusev potentially has is pretty large. And in worst case, I think I just talked about this on the press box. I mean, worst case, I think he's a 15-20 goal scorer right out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be good.
Yes.
Like, it's just a matter of whether he's awesome or not. Like,
right,
he's going
and you want to pay a good hockey player $3 to $4 million a year to get 20 goals. I mean, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion.
But you do think, like, the fan reaction would be more negative if they traded Reeves to keep Gusev than if they just traded Gusev?
No question. I don't think many people know who Nikita Gusev is. I think it's just a word. I just think it's like it's a thing that people hear and they don't know much about him. Tyler, we don't know much about him. I've seen him at the Worlds and I've seen him at the Olympics, and he had two great outings in that regard. And I talked about this. I do like Russian wingers. I like snipers. I like scores. I like the Russian style of play. I think he's going to be good, but no, I don't think Vegas Knights. I mean, when you compare him to Ryan Reeves, you know, 75 Revo.
He plays 9 minutes a game.
Yeah, but it's the highlights, it's the hits, it's the quotes after the game, it's the brewing company that he has. He's a pillar of the community.
All right,
we're talking about long reigning Las Vegas Ryan Reeves here.
All right, what's the top five then of players that would create the most negative response if they were traded?
Marc-Andre Fleury, number one. I would have to say this is really tough because I think Reeves is in the top five.
You think so? Okay.
I don't think he's in the top three because I think Carlson, Marchessault, and Fleury are. And then you got to go. I think Schmidt, and then I would probably go Reeves.
Yeah, I was thinking Schmidt would be there too.
Yeah, so, Reeves actually Schmidt might jump ahead of a Marchessault.
Okay,
England honorable mention.
To an extent, yes.
No, what was funny was when Derek England, when it was like, hey, we're going to probably re-sign Derek England, there were a lot of people that were like, why? I was genuinely shocked the amount of people that were like,
he's top five selling jersey, and they're all like, we got his jersey.
Yeah, we don't need him back.
He's done.
Yeah, like, I was surprised there was as much negative reaction to England as there was.
Maybe they're bigger hockey fans than I anticipated. No, but I did see that as well, and I think that goes, it's a direct correlation, but he is the true Las Vegas on this team. He has the story with October 1st. He gave that great speech after that first home game. I mean, the heartstrings of Las Vegas are attached to England. So, yeah, I get why you would be. I'm kind of surprised.
Mark Stone has to be ahead of Ryan Reeves on that list, right? Like, I know people love Ryan Reeves.
You're probably right.
But if the Golden Knights traded their best player,
yeah,
like, I think people have loved Ryan or have loved Mark Stone enough that he'd be ahead of Ryan
I think that's
Reeves.
Fair. I think you'd have to put him ahead of there. So,
Because here's the thing. If you trade Ryan Reeves, the majority of the media is going to be like, that's fine. Like, that's fine.
They might,
like,
help quell some of the discontent.
If they traded Mark Stone for any reason, they'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
You would have to get an astronomical haul for me to be okay with
VGK,
that.
VGK, dumbasses.
Yeah, that would have to be an Oklahoma City, Los Angeles Clippers type return for Mark Stone.
All right, what about the other way? What are the five players that people would be most happy to see gone?
Oh, geez.
My boy.
What?
Subban.
Well, yeah, maybe Subban. Definitely England. I think there's an element of that because of what he's paid.
He's on both lists.
Yeah, he is, which is odd, right? Man, a top five of people that they would be, I mean, happy? I mean, you just, I happy is a strong word. I don't know if there, I don't think there are five players that they would be happy about.
Nick Holden?
With the money that he, what's his contract?
$2.2 million.
Yeah, I think Holden would probably be up there. They would be okay with it. I don't think that Vegas is going to be happy with any of these original names that they know being put on the chopping block. We saw that with Colin Miller and Eric Halla. It's tough. Like, I mean, this team means a lot to the city, and understandably so. But there are definitely some that I think would be more okay to be moved, at least in terms of the fans. England is one. I think Subban, you were right about that, but that would be so dumb because we just talked about it on the press box. Subban gets his deal today. He gets $800K. Listen, you are not the level of skill that Malcolm Subban has and the promise of the future. You're not going to find a goaltender for under $1 million of what Subban can bring. Plus his regular season experience. He's got some shutouts.
He is at $850,000, 70th highest paid goalie going into next year. 70th.
That's ridiculous.
That makes him the 10th best number three goalie.
He's one of the is a great way of putting that. He is one of the better backup goalies in the entire league.
So like
it's a steal.
Like, yes, you could get a better backup goalie, but when you're up against the salary cap.
And you don't want to do that. When you're up against a cap, you don't want to go out and pay. When you're already overpaying your starter, which I think we've... Yeah, you are. It was a favorite of Fleury and the city.
Yeah.
No one is on the other side of that argument that I can... no one I think that we've ever had in here is on the other side of
that. I will say that you understand why people are okay with it because of what Fleury meant, you know, and what he means and will continue to mean, veteran presence and all that. But you also understand that it was a very player-friendly deal.
All right, you cover UFC.
I do.
Should every sport have some sort of scenario where the game can be over within 5 seconds?
Sure.
Like, or in some short amount of time.
If Steph Curry bounces it off his own butt and goes the full length of the court.
Right. Like, should every sport have the possibility of
just ending at any given moment? Yeah, I mean, I'm all for, you know, memorable finishes and coming out of nowhere. And I'll tell you, I know what you're referencing, the Ben Askren Jorge Masvidal finish on Saturday night. There aren't a lot of times where I, you know, especially on Media Row, where I have to, like, cover my mouth or, you know, tuck my hands or do something. You know, I'm pretty well trained. That happened. I was like, ooh, ooh. Like, I literally, like, covered my hand over my mouth. I mean, to have that reaction from a season, when Anderson Silva snapped his leg against Chris Weidman, I literally looked up. I was like, oh, that was disgusting. I went back to typing my play-by-play. Like, there was no stop. There was no, like, that was gross or anything. I went right into it. But there are different moments, those sudden moments. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to work it into football and basketball and baseball.
If you score two goals in the first 2 minutes of a game, it's over. You win 2-0. That's it. By knockout. We can have knockouts in the standings.
I just was sitting here lobbying for the importance of numbers and the greatness of baseball. I mean, it might skew the numbers a little bit, but hey.
Oh, first inning, if you're up 8-0 after the first, game over.
Shut out. Yeah. Shout out for Justin Verlander.
Mercy rule.
Yeah, mercy rule.
He has thrown 7 one-inning no-hitters this year.
What a legend.
It'd be great. It'd be wonderful. Because listen, if you score 8 runs in the first inning, that's an hour.
I think you're onto something. We were just talking about baseball juice and balls to try to get, you know, new fans. And maybe we've been looking at this the whole wrong way. Maybe you just need to figure out a way to end the games in the second inning and get this over with.
First 1-10.
Listen, college softball has a mercy rule.
Yeah.
That sport is so much better than college baseball.
Yeah, Little League too.
Wonderful.
And if you talk to Steve Cofield, you know, Cofield loves checking out random Little League games. Just like, he loves to do that.
What now?
Cofield's one of his crosses.
How is it we always talk about weird child stuff with you every time you're on this?
But this is not about me. This is about Steve. He's the weird child lover. He is on record as saying, why in 2019, what has happened to society where a nice, upstanding citizen like myself, Steve Cofield, can't just pull up to a random baseball game and watch some kids play baseball?
Pull out a butt ice? Crack.
That's literally what he said. Pull up a lawn chair. He's like, I used to be able to pull up a chair anywhere in New Jersey and watch little kids play baseball. And I was like, Steve, you don't, like, say that again real slow. You don't think that's weird?
Wait, that was something that people did? He claimed that was normal?
Thank you. Like, to me and to you, normal millennials who, you know, had video games and things to do and movies and, you know, streaming, right? We don't think of that as a viable form of entertainment. In fact, it's a complete opposite. It's so foreign and so creepy that there's no actual way that this happened in a universe prior to us existing.
The parents always get mad whenever I bring out my box of candy.
Yeah, I would literally be like, who are you? What number is your child? Why are you here? Where do you live? Prove it. That would be my vetting process with any rando pulling up to my kid's baseball game to watch little children play a sport. Do you know how boring that must be if your kid is not involved in the game and you're watching bad sports? What is the reason why you would even do that? I love outside, and I don't love outside that much.
We gotta get if Steve wants to do it, we gotta get him like a Yankees like scouting department like pullover, and then all of a sudden the parents will be like, well, come to my child.
Steve, we're gonna get you the best seat in the house. You can see all the youth little league that you want.
Why don't you do a live show from a little league game?
Oh god. That actually would be kind of incredible.
Dude, I'm still trying to get him to go see Space Jam in the theater.
Yeah, I don't know. No one's a bigger advocate for youth sports. And, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I think you might be onto
something. We'll call the Parks Department.
Youth sports and competitive eating. We'll send Cofield off to the July 4th competitive eating, and we'll also send him to the Little League World Series. Could you imagine a sit-down interview with Big Al D'Elia from last year?
Right?
And yes. Steve Cofield?
Yes. Cofield interviews the MVP of the game.
Oh, I need that. I need that in my life.
He did all his sideline reporting for UNLV.
Exactly.
He'll be ready to go.
That's right. I don't know if anyone can handle Big Al.
Did you scare off Chrissy?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Can we pin the blame on Ryan here?
It was pretty obvious. I mean, you know, I show up in January. Both Mark and Chrissy put in their 2 weeks, and now they're out of here. I was looking down the hallway. Their office is closed. Very sad. Very sad.
It is sad. They still have a whiteboard. I think it's still there.
Yeah.
You could leave messages for Mark and Chrissy. Yeah. They both had frowny faces on them the last 2 weeks.
I walked by last week, and Mark's back was turned to me, and he was packing up a box. I was like, well, this is lame. I turned around and went somewhere else. I can't handle that type of emotion. I avoid at all costs.
Oh, I one last question for you. We talked about this yesterday. If I gave you a 10-year span,
uh-huh.
Golden Knights make the playoffs all 10 years, never win the Stanley Cup. Is that successful?
Yes.
Good answer, 100%. Ryan McKenna.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm a Blackhawks fan, so I spent 15 years not making anything. And trust me, the hope of potentially winning a Stanley Cup and having a good team, and you're paying money as a season ticket holder, right? You're paying money for the hope of it. I mean, you're not going to win every year, but there's the hope. It's the chase. It's like gambling, right? It's the same thing. You don't sit down at a blackjack table expecting to win $5,000 in a session, but if it happens, then that's why you're here. I think it's kind of the same thing with hockey.
One of the things I've disturbingly learned by hanging out with Ryan McKinnell the last 2 days is we have a ton of the same opinions.
Well, we're young.
Oh, you all right. I mean? Is that what it is? Because
Jared has a lot of bad opinions.
Yes, I do.
Well, that means that would then vis-a-vis, I have bad opinions as well. I feel like there's something.
Well,
to be said
no,
for
I
that.
Think you state my bad opinions so well that they're probably
they're decent
opinions.
Okay, all right.
I like to dig a hole of a bad opinion and go, no, let me continue.
When are you at the Summer League?
I will be out there today from 2 to 3, and then I will be back out there Friday.
All right.
Yeah. So nice. That's
2 to 3, 9:20 the game. You can listen to the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell.
Right. Much better production.
Summer League. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Nick made our own. Nick is top two in the building in production.
Top two in the building.
Probably
like
number
one. Compliment.
It's like how he's burying himself right here. He's like, no, he's much better than I am in every single way. And, taller than I am. He's married. Has kids. Has a fulfilled life. But
Jared,
I'm Jared
got a haircut on air.
He did. He did. He went from looking homeless to looking like a white nationalist.
Was, Ryan McKenna.
And on that note, I will see you later.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Ryan.
Check out the podcast on lvsportsnetwork.com.
Hey, it's Tyler Bischoff. Want the easiest way to bet on sports in Las Vegas? Download the Be Connected Sports app for free from the Apple or Google Play stores. Then head to your favorite Boyd location like the Orleans, Gold Coast, or Sun Coast to create an account. And with just a $100 deposit, you'll get a free $50 to wager. Then you'll be able to bet before or during the games you love to watch. Plus, if you use Pay Near Me, depositing money into your account can be done at 7-Elevens, Family Dollar Stores, or CVS Pharmacy. It's the Be Connected Sports app from Boyd Gaming.
It's Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
I am so glad that Nevada hired Steve Alford. Their ticket prices for basketball have gone up again. So they had like their best teams ever with Eric Musselman. Eric Musselman leaves. They lost all 5 starters, and they still were like, yeah, we're going to raise ticket prices again. And it's pretty much because they hired Steve Alford, and there's still excitement around that program. Like, they didn't completely fall off a cliff. They hired a coach that people heard of and a coach that has won a lot at the Mountain West level. So they screwed over their cheapest seats, the poor people that buy Nevada season tickets. Their cheapest seats going from $199 for the season to $299, according to Nevada Sportsnet. But what was interesting is Chris Murray of Nevada Sportsnet was tweeting out like ticket price comparisons between Nevada basketball and UNLV. The cheapest UNLV season ticket is $119. The cheapest at Nevada is $299. The most expensive at Nevada is $5,000. At UNLV, it's $3,500. Now, both of those come with like required donation amounts that can change that from $3,500 to like $10,000. But the cost of the price, or the ticket, or the seat, I should say, is $5,000 for Nevada, $3,500 for UNLV. So, like, Nevada's charging more money than UNLV is. And I'm so glad they hired Alford because, like, they're still relevant. Like, they're still a relevant basketball program. And that's all that I want. Like, I want nothing more.
Relevant than basketball in the Mountain
yes.
West?
All I want wow. is UNLV and Nevada to both be relevant. Like, them playing for the Mountain West title.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Would be the best thing that could happen. Like, if they're playing for an NCAA tournament spot or if they're just playing for, hey, we're both ranked. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's just like my football dream, where both UNLV and Nevada are 5-6 going into the last game, and the winner not only gets the cannon but gets to go to a bowl game, and the other team, their season is over. How great would that be this year if both teams were 5-6? Because what you would have, Tony Sanchez would be coaching at 5-6 against Nevada. He'd be coaching for the cannon, a bowl game, and his job.
Let's get those stakes. Man, that's some high stakes.
And if he wins, the other team's not going to a bowl game, too. Just throw that in there as well. So you get the cannon. You get to go to a bowl game. Your biggest rival does not get to go to a bowl game, and you keep your job. Or you lose the cannon. You don't get to go to a bowl game. Your biggest rival goes to a bowl game, and you lose your job.
I think at that point, the cannon is sort of meaningless.
Meaningless? Yeah, probably.
Like, at that point,
the whole job thing.
If they're already, like, if they've already won 6 games going into the cannon game, I obviously Tony Sanchez wants to win, but at the same time, I think the cannon is more or less just like a relief. Like,
yeah, you're right. If
I didn't get fired.
If they're 6-5 going into the Nevada game, like, it matters, obviously, because you want to beat your rival, but it doesn't.
No, it's like,
it's not important at that
box
point.
Box checked.
Yeah, it's not important. Like, you get to bowl eligibility. That is the most important thing this year. You're absolutely right. Like, if they get to 6 wins before playing Nevada, that game is kind of meaningless.
Man, that's sort of depressing.
It is.
Man.
It is a little bit depressing. Like, there'll be, you know, hate and whatever. But, like, as far as the big picture, UNLV football, beating Nevada last year was the biggest thing that happened. Like, that was the number one thing that happened from last season, was that they beat Nevada. They had the biggest comeback in the history of the rivalry. But this year, if they were 6-5 playing Nevada, that game is not the biggest part of the season. The biggest part of the season is Sanchez getting to 6 wins and keeping his job. And that would have been done regardless of what happens against Nevada. Now, if they get to 6 wins before playing Nevada, it's one hell of a coaching job by Tony Sanchez. Like, that's one hell of a season.
Well, I mean, I think, didn't we already figure out their losses are like San Jose State and and then their wins are at like Vanderbilt, Northwestern.
Yeah, Vanderbilt and Northwestern and Boise.
Yeah.
Great.
And then lose to...
No, they're going
to
beat...
They're going to lose to Air Force.
They're going to beat Vandy and Northwestern and miss the bowl game.
That's... Yeah, all right. So that's more spot.
Yeah, that's what happens there. But I just so badly want both of these programs to be good. And not even like in the football instance, it's not even like good. It's just like, be relevant. Like, don't have 2 wins going into that game. Have 5, at least. Have 6. Like, that's all I want. Because those... There's enough pettiness in the rivalry that if the teams were good enough, that if the games were good enough, this could be a really big deal outside of the state of Nevada. Like, people might pay attention to it if you had 2 top 25 basketball teams, if you had 2 football teams that were any good. Like, people might pay. There's enough sort of hatred there that people might start paying attention to it if the teams were good. And that's what I want. Like, I want meaningful games, and that's the best way to get meaningful games for UNLV, is for Nevada to be good too.
Or, you know, just go to the Pac-12.
That would be helpful. That would be. How would they play Nevada every year if they did that?
Non-conference.
Yeah. But like,
lead it off with the rival game.
Isn't the Pac-12 going to 9 conference games for football? So you'd have 9 conference games and then Nevada every year. You only have to schedule 2 non-conference games every year.
Yeah, one team that you pay to beat the brakes off of, and then one team that pays you to beat the crap out of you.
I think once you get to the Pac-12, you're hoping that second one doesn't exist anymore.
Well, if you upset them, you upset them. We got to stay, dude. We got to fill that stadium. Build the brand new stadium. We got to generate some revenue.
Yeah, but no, if you go to the Pac-12, that's supposed to solve that, right? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think what I really, really want is just like an SEC series. UNLV just
They just rotate through every SEC school.
Just gets paid to get like.
They should do that.
We lost 74-0, but look at this check.
They should sign a 14-year deal with the SEC where they get paid like $35 million, and they play every team in the SEC once over the next 14 years.
But no matter what, at the end of the game, I need the athletic director from the SEC team to present the UNLV head coach with a large check.
They lose, but they carry Sanchez off with a check over his head.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
We have jerseys for next year.
We can.
You're welcome, softball team.
We will have a concession stand open during next week's home game.
Totally Correct, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Professional tennis is coming to Las Vegas. The Orleans Arena will host the Las Vegas Rollers inaugural season in the World Team Tennis League. The Rollers are led by the greatest doubles pairing in history, the Bryan brothers. First home match is July 20th, and the World Team Tennis playoffs are also at the Orleans starting in August. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster or go to orleansarena.com/events.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Very well.
The Golden Knights re-signed Malcolm Subban.
Only a 1-year deal. $850,000, which again, as we said with Ryan McKinnell, 70th highest paid goalie in hockey at $850,000. So
value.
Yeah, like there's... I don't know how
25 years old.
Right, like I don't know how you complain about the Malcolm Subban deal just because, like, I get it. People don't think he's very good. You guys are wrong, but... he's a backup goalie, and you're paying him like he's a third-string goalie. Good job.
Like, it's better than paying someone like they're a top-five goalie when they're more or less a mid-20s goalie. Yeah,
exactly. But what's... So, the backup goalie's in place, and that's, like, what we're about to deal with after the Nikita Gusev saga. What we're about to deal with for two seasons, like, this is as exciting as it's going to get. Because George McPhee has his players in place. Core's in place. And he's not doing any more big game hunting. This team's going to be so boring for 2 years off the ice. Like, the winning, whatever. But off the ice, they're not going to be like, oh, they could trade for this guy. No, they're negative salary cap space. Oh, they're going to, nope, they can't re-sign anybody. Or they can't sign anybody, I should say. It's going to be boring. It's going to be, oh, Malcolm Subban signed to a new deal. Hooray!
Yeah!
All that's left, though, you got Derek Englund, Jake Bischoff, and Nikita Gusev.
Derek Englund still hasn't signed?
Not officially, no. What if it doesn't happen?
Oh, I already changed the pages. I can't play the fanfare.
There are no rules.
Antonio Brown threw furniture off of a 14th floor balcony.
That's an old headline, but it's back in the news because Antonio Brown tweeted that he reached a settlement after he was sued for that. The accusation of what he did, by the way, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Antonio Brown is accused of throwing furniture from the 14th floor balcony of a Florida luxury apartment complex in April of 2018 while in a rage about a missing $80,000 and gun, according to a lawsuit and police reports. He was sued after doing that by a man who claimed the objects he threw almost hit his 2-year-old son and his grandfather.
Didn't know about the grandfather, but the 2-year-old son is what I had heard.
Yes. Yesterday,
you
Antonio
know how much permanent
Brown,
damage I had, like, mentally when I was 2 years old. He'll get over it.
Yesterday, Antonio Brown tweeted that the legal dispute had been resolved with, quote, a confidential sum of funds being donated to charity.
Oh.
He then deleted that tweet, though.
Oh. Maybe he's not good with confidentiality. Maybe he was just like, I mean, he has been known to tweet out or Instagram people's DMs.
Yeah. He also, what did he, Periscope the Steelers locker room? When yeah, Mike Tomlin was like, we don't need to be on social media as much.
We really need to sit him down with a lawyer or someone who can explain, like, privacy laws and the,
I had
Fourth
completely
Amendment.
Forgotten that he threw furniture off of a 14th floor balcony.
I hadn't, but it was... when they brought it up today on the press box, There were some points that were made that were like, yeah, it's always stupid to throw things off a 14th floor balcony. I agree with that. But does this make it, you know, knowing this, would you have still signed him? Yes. No, they did sign him.
And they gave him help in Richie Incognito to help throw other things off a balcony when he gets mad again. No, the best thing they did is they signed Antonio Brown, so they had to go draft high-character rookies to rein Antonio Brown in. He's going to benefit so much from Cleveland Farrell and Jonathan Abram teaching him how to play.
And see, what I was thinking was, that, you know, maybe he can throw something to himself.
New quarterback. John Green trying to get the tape. Look how he threw that face.
The Golden Knights will sell battle-worn armor to season ticket holders.
Yep, they're calling it armor. Sunday, July 14th.
Oh, pads. They're selling pads.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, they're going to be selling game-worn stuff.
That smells nice.
And other apparel, too. The press release said there'd be some new stuff, too, so it's not just all, hey, here's an old shin guard. These things are great, though. Like, UNLV did their garage sale thing. So like I love these things.
The Golden Knights are selling battle-worn armor. UNLV, we're having a garage sale.
Yeah, they don't call it a garage sale. This is a garage sale, too. They're all garage sales. But like the one thing, though, Golden Knights only open this to season ticket holders, whereas the UNLV one was everybody. So like Golden Knights are like, oh, lots of people are going to want this. What's the bar, though, for what people will not want?
Do we still have Pick's mask?
I don't know. Calvin Pickard's mask. I don't know what happened to that. Did Calvin Pickard get to keep that?
I kind of hope so.
Like, but what's the bar? Like, what will people not want? Like, if they tried to sell Cody Eakin's mouthpiece,
people would want it.
Okay, so what's
that's
the bar
going then? On VGK, ladies, as an exclusive.
Like, what do people not want? Like, what is so like?
Are the socks embroidered at all with any Golden Knights like
name
logos?
Or number? I think they're just the stripes, right?
Okay.
And
nobody wants those socks.
I think they sell them new at City National Arena, too.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody wants those socks.
Man. I don't know. If you just tell people Ryan Reeves wore these, people are going to want them.
Fleury's jock?
Yeah. People want that. Yeah. Do you think they have any Vadim Shipachov gear?
This is smoky.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm going to go get the suit Jake Bischoff wore in the press box during the regular season.
Take our boys only suit. Las Vegas may host a new soccer tournament this fall.
Major League Soccer and Liga MX. Liga MX is the pro league in Mexico. Created a tournament. It's going to start this month. MLS and Liga MX are going to make a major announcement in Las Vegas on Thursday. And the assumption is that they're going to announce that the final of this tournament is going to be played in Las Vegas. So it's an 8-team tournament. You got 4 MLS teams, 4 Liga MX teams. Is anybody going to want to watch this in Vegas? Like, is this going to have good attendance?
Yeah. It's going to have fairly decent attendance because I don't know if you've ever been to... Have you ever been to a hole-in-the-wall Mexican place here in town? Like...
Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, Mexican restaurant.
Yes.
What is on every single TV?
But are people going to pay to go to Sam Boyd to watch? Because, like, yes.
There's a lot of...
But, like, do people care about...
Mexican League fans.
You could have a matchup here of Tijuana, who's one of the worst teams in Liga MX, against Real Salt Lake.
I think people from Salt Lake might come down.
Like, 7 of them.
More than I would have
guessed. Like, you could have LA Galaxy and, like, some of the better teams. Like, Club America is one of the better teams, or Tigres. Like, you could have a really good matchup, but, like... I don't know. Like, what's a good... If they played the Sam Boyd, is it sold out?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah.
Don't know. Like, I don't know what would be an expected or good attendance between a Liga MX and an MLS team. Because it's like... Like, if it was the Mexican national team, yeah, of course it's sold out.
So what we need to do is we need to call some... We need to bring over one of our friends from the Deportes Auxiliary Building and ask them. They'd have their finger to the pulse on this question.
Okay. Jesus Lopez.
Paxton. Using 4 forwards instead of 3 forwards on a power play leads to increase in shooting percentage by 13%. Nailed it?
Yep. That's exactly what I typed. Story at TSN about power plays and basically asking if teams should go to five forwards and no defensemen when they're on the power play. So the numbers here, if you use four forwards and one defenseman, you generate 1.4 net goals per 60 minutes more than if you use three forwards and two defensemen. So the evidence there says you should not use two defensemen when you're on a power play. You're not as good of a team. So TSN summary was like, teams should try this with five forwards and no defensemen on a power play to see if there is a similar increase. And there's not much data on it because it hasn't been done very much. But I'm curious if the Golden Knights would do this. I know Gerard Gallant has gone to the six forwards lineup when he pulls the goalie late in games and they're losing. He'll put six forwards out there trying to score. So I feel like he would be open to playing five forwards on a power play, maybe only if they're losing, though. But what's funny is as people do more like analytical studies of, you know, decisions you should make as a coach in sporting events, it almost always tends to be being aggressive is good. And coaches always seem to be the least aggressive ones. But it's just like you take football, it's almost all like if it's fourth down, it's usually like you should go for it.
Well, if it's fourth and it's less than 4 yards.
Yeah, fourth and short, you should obviously not fourth and 15 from your own seven. But like,
but actually, if you're down by six with less than amount of time, it's actually more beneficial to try to go for it.
It's almost always analytically sound for a field to goal. Be more aggressive than what we're used to. And it's usually way more. Like, even like there's the high school coach in Arkansas is like, we just onside kick every time. Now, again, that's high school football, but he's like got one of the best programs in the state of Arkansas because they don't punt, they onside kick every time. They don't kick except onside. No field goals, no punts. They just were going for it because 7 points is more than three.
It's like we shoot threes.
Exactly.
It's Bill Laimbeer.
It's just funny to me how it's always like, oh, we did this analytic study, and yes, being more aggressive is the right thing to do. And coaches are like, I'm scared.
You got to choose when you're going to be aggressive. Yeah. I agree. You should be more aggressive, but you got to choose when you're going to be aggressive.
Don't bunt.
I like bunting.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I like bunting and steals, and no one agrees with me.
That is actually one of the few examples. Stealing is a very aggressive thing, but it's analytically more frowned upon.
But you get a free base if you steal.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more frowned upon because we got more home runs. So if you get thrown out, then it's only a one-run home run than a two-run home run.
Pat McCaw re-signed with the Raptors.
His quest for a fourth straight title seems unlikely now.
Yeah. Did he not even try to call the Lakers?
I have no idea what he's doing. Hopefully he plays now.
I hope he holds out, and then halfway through the season, they trade him to the Lakers. The Las Vegas Aces play at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning?
Yeah, what's going on here? They're at Indiana, so it's not a home game. So it's a noon game in Indiana on a Wednesday. So it's at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
At least it's the summer,
yeah,
I guess.
We'll have to give live updates tomorrow during the show for this game.
I don't hate that idea.
The second half will be on when we're in here. Should it be against the rules to make a Pacific time zone team play a 9 a.m. game?
Except for then you'll have the East Coast teams complain about how every single time the championship game is on the West Coast, they're like, it's midnight! And it's like, well, yeah, so sorry. That
yeah,
sucks.
That's better. That's easier than 9 a.m., though. Right?
I mean, not really. No, it's sort of the same problem.
Whatever.
Of it's an inconvenient time.
The Fever, not good. They're the worst team in defensive rating in the WNBA. So the Aces' inconsistent offense should score.
Here's the question. Do they score 100 and just
probably
stop?
Not. It's at 9 a.m.
They're just like waking up. Like, it's just a very groggy game.
Thank God we're up 26 because I need to go back to sleep.
What if the people on the bench is just in sweatpants holding a holding a pillow, just like, coach, don't put me in. I'm tired. What's next? What are we teasing here?
UNLV basketball.
Next!
Get in touch with the show on Twitter @Bischoff_Tyler.
There's no I in team. Yeah, there's no you either. So I guess if I'm not on the team and you're not on the team, nobody's on the goddamn team. The team sucks.
It's Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
I feel like I've been irresponsible during the offseason in terms of how much I am hyping up UNLV basketball.
How so?
Just because I've spent a couple months talking about year two and...
Oh, not year one at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, but like year two, I've spent pretty much the entire offseason talking about David Jenkins, Amori Hardy. If they add one more player, they're an NCAA tournament team. And I the reason I feel irresponsible is I think, A, I'm getting excited too early, but like the last 8 years of UNLV basketball has been, oh, wow, except for the 1 year of Marvin Menzies. But, oh, wow, this team's really talented. They could go to the NCAA tournament, and then they never go to the NCAA tournament. Like, Marvin Menzies, it was year two. They got Brandon McCoy and Shakur Justin, and it was like, oh, this should be an NCAA tournament team. But instead, they won, like, 8 Mountain West games, and that was the end of the Dave Rice era, too. It's like, wow, this team's really talented. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like I've been irresponsible, that it's like, oh, they are going to the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, all of the players have said that, too. So I can just blame them, right?
I'm not going to say a promise was made because when we had Coach on, I believe he adamantly sort of sidestepped that question.
He did. His answer was, if we take care of the process, the results will take care of themselves.
Yeah, DRF has trained him well.
Very well.
Yep. Man, he said that well. What did he say? Nothing.
Yep.
He didn't say anything. No, I think you can blame it on the fact that, yeah, the team believes in itself, and if that's their goal, then that's their goal.
Well, and so here's the thing, all right? If you look at year two, the reason I've hyped up year two is I think David Jenkins and Amori Hardy are going to be really good offensively. Like, I think that duo is probably going to be the best guard duo in the Mountain West, at least on the offensive end. And if you add one more player, and if it's somebody like Donnie Tillman who can play the four or the five or whatever as a shooter, then I think you're going to have an unbelievably good offense. But I think there's two problems as far as the team being NCAA tournament level good in year two, and it's lack of size and defense. Because if you look at Amori Hardy and David Jenkins, they're both 6'2 or shorter.
You so, have actually already brought that up, though.
I know, but I feel like I've ignored it for the most part. That every time I'm like, they're going to the NCAA tournament because they're going to score a lot of points, ignore the defense. But like, are they going to be any good on defense?
Okay, but let's go back to it. Three is worth more than two.
It is, but they'll give up threes too because David Jenkins is, what, 5'11"?
But okay,
and he's just going to get shot over.
No, you...
The Martin twins are gone, but there's other people that are going to be 6'6 that can shoot. And UNLV doesn't have
a soul
to guard
them. No evidence of that.
And UNLV doesn't have a soul to guard those types of players. Like, because the thing with T.J. Otzelberger...
You do the inverse Ben Simmons defense. Instead of only crowding the paint, you put nobody in the paint.
So the thing with Otzelberger, though, is when he was at South Dakota State, his offenses were nationally really good. Like, he had top 100 and I think top 50 offense 1 year. Like, nationally, a terrific offense. But his defense nationally was never any good. Like, they were outside the top 300 his first year in defensive efficiency. So, like, never any good on defense. But if you just compared it to the Summit League, he was always like one or two in Summit League defensive efficiency. So here's the thing. If Otzelberger can have like a top 30 offense in the nation in year two, which I think is realistic, but you know, his defense isn't very good, but it's still like the third or fourth best in the Mountain West.
It should be the best team in the Mountain West.
But I don't know if they can be the third or fourth best defensive team in the Mountain West. I'm more thinking they're going to be the ninth best defensive team. And it's kind of like, not that great.
What if Antonio teaches them all to play hard as Bleep Bro? What if he puts out a clinic?
They're going to be slapping the floor. They are all going to take all five of their fouls. Every single player on the court is, I got five fouls. I'm going to use all five of them. It's going to be great. Hype them up.
You suck, Tyler.